Welcome to Pharma Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Bowling, producer of the show. Pharma Talk Radio is a nonprofit program to disseminate helpful information to those in life sciences, and in particular drug development, and this, of course, always includes patient advocacy communities. When I'm not working with Pharma Talk Radio, I head up content and direction at the Conference Forum. For information on event listings and radio listings, please visit www.theconferenceforum.org. Today we'll be listening to a progress report discussion from the Patients as Partners Europe event held this past February in London. Nicholas Brook at PFMD and Jan Geisler of UPADI call on industry to partner with patients in the development and life cycle of medicines.
Thank you very much, Tony. Actually, you're sitting there. So we're actually doing this session together, and we actually are splitting that presentation because we wanted to present this as joint work, which is PFMD, what it is about. I mean, this presentation is really about why is PFMD there, why have we started it, what progress have we achieved over time. Now, I'm going to probably take more the role of speaking about the rationale why I got engaged about 3 years ago. When this whole initiative, driven also by Tony, emerged from a chief medical officer's roundtable, where exactly these things happened that Eric mentioned, get on with it. Why shouldn't we do that? Why shouldn't we work together? Because what we see, and you're probably all evidencing that in your companies, in your organizations, we all tend to work in our silos. We're talking about our own return on invest. We are thinking about, can we get the best process established? And in the end, we end up with doing informed consent documents review by a patient organization that we have ticked the box. We have heard so many of these, let's say, buzzwords. And what often doesn't happen is that we say, so what's the system? How do we change the system? How do we work pre-competitively on the right thing and fulfill the glossy missions that we all have in our mission statements? Not only pharma has them, patient organizations have them as well. And we sometimes don't live up to the promise. And I think PFMD is one of these things where we wanted to really a call to action and really implement what we are doing. So my name is Jan Geisler. I've been a patient advocate for 15 years. I've been in phase 2 trials when I was diagnosed about 15 years ago with leukemia. I've been becoming from a very naive patient to a very engaged and very knowledgeable patient advocate in a specific disease area because I wanted to find out how research works, because I had the luck to find a study 400 kilometers away, which other Germans probably didn't find. I thought, why not share that with peers? And from that, a lot of things developed, from a pan-European umbrella organization in cancer or of cancer patients to make policy change in Brussels, over a global network of leukemia patient organizations in 83 countries. I've seen a lot of initiatives come and go, and I think PFMD and EOPADI, but I'm going to talk about that tomorrow afternoon, so stay until the very end, otherwise you're going to miss that. PFMD is a very important initiative, and you can see the call to action that we actually published in 2015. So we met a couple of times and we said, if we do another glossy statement about everybody working together doesn't help, we need to propose how we collaborate. And what actually how patient involvement often looks like, I mean, this is just as an example. You could also use the tube map or the Tokyo public transport map. That's exactly the same model. You hardly get to the point. I mean, there's a million ways to get to Gloucester Road. I took one way this morning, but I could have probably taken three other ways. And that's also what we see in patient engagement. I mean, there are so many ways that people get lost on the track and forget about how do I get this whole system work. And for those that are in companies, you probably know you're torn between clinical development, medical affairs, your compliance guys are driving us nuts, and so on. So you see a lot of ways how to involve patients can work or not work. So what we saw 3 years ago, also when we got on with EOPADI, is that there's no systematic approach how to do this. There's some here and there, and we're celebrating successes there, but we need to think systematically about it. And that probably symbolizes pretty much how the landscape looks like at the moment. And that's a slide I took from Bettina Rill, which some of you might know, a very engaged melanoma patient advocate who lost her husband about four years ago. And look at the green chart and think about about yourself, where you involve patients today. That's very often where you think about, let's take the low-hanging fruits because there are not so many compliance issues about it, and that's easy to do. So let them review the informed consent sheet of our trial. So, of course, easy to do, but what impact does it have on your trials? Barely, almost zero. Because the true impact is on the left side. The true impact is where you have patients really ask the questions about the clinical trial, about the clinical questions that you're asking and so on, or where you're involved in protocol design. Of course, this takes more effort because you need to convince your compliance colleagues, you need to convince the people that are responsible for the clinical development plans that there's another stakeholder group you should involve. And I think Paul mentioned the issue of return on invest. I think it's difficult to quantify that probably at the moment, and PFMD is working on a model how probably this could be done. But if we see the current system of medicine development being largely broken because we're investing more and more billions per drug and we are less and less getting output out of the system, we need to change the way in the design phase how we do trials. So doing the right thing is on the left side, and doing things right according to laws and to everything that is out there is on the right side. And the right side are the low-hanging fruits. The left side, the early involvement, really makes a difference. And that's why you should involve patients. So this is an issue. And, I mean, we know the whole process is largely fragmented. You can see on the left side, that's basically objectives, goals, targets. We have very different interests, and we need to acknowledge that. Industry has different interests than patient organizations. But not only industry has interests. Regulators have interests. Payers have interests. Ethics committees have interests. Academia has interests. I mean, we as patient advocates, Eric knows that so well, and everybody else here in the room, Marlene and everybody, we know everybody tries to pull our fingers everywhere because everybody's got interests, of course, but we are self-confident enough to work with everyone. Then, of course, the fragmentation of ideas. Everybody has different ideas how patient engagement should work. And if we don't get together and work on this at these conferences or in initiatives like PFMD, we'll never get there. Then the whole fragmentation of the clinical development process. We know how many steps. I'm going to present the roadmap tomorrow that we've done in EUPADI. All these different steps, and every step in the clinical development process has different objectives. So it's largely fragmented there. And then the, let's say, fragmentation of the world, which I'm going to outline here. We try to pull Europe and the US together very closely. I try to find a chart from the time when the continents were still linked. It's a couple of million years ago. We can't wait for so long, and we don't know what's going to happen after what we heard from the White House a couple of days. Maybe they move a bit in different regulatory directions at the moment. But what we saw, and this is quite unique to PFMD, EUPADI, as an example, is a European activity, but PFMD is global. And when we got together, we had people from the U.S., European advocates, American advocates, really talking about how can this fit together, because we cannot think we can do it in our regulatory, let's say, environment just in Europe or just in the US, because we know that it's all largely interlinked. And this was also presented or indicated both by Isabel and by Natalie earlier on. So we're a bit like Christoph Columbus sometimes. We need to cross the Atlantic and need to think about how that works on a global level. You and companies are very used to that. And patient organizations, we need to get better, especially as the NGO world is completely has different mechanics than Europe. And also language-wise, we are very different. So there's a lot of fragmentation which we need to overcome, and which was one of the rationales also to set up PFMD, to bridge the Atlantic, actually, to work together. Of course, barriers. There are a lot of barriers. Some of them were presented also earlier on in the chart that Isabel presented about the green and red spots in when we can engage and when we cannot engage as patient advocates. And it looks very clear on the chart that Isabel presented, but the interpretation in your compliance departments, I'm always saying you because there are so many people from industry in the room, in the compliance departments, the interpretation is so different. And the unclarity is so difficult for us. And at the same time, Flaminia was saying earlier on, why do we differentiate in terms of fair market value between a doctor and a patient, knowing that patient advocates have also been doing nothing else than in the last 22 years or 15 years or whatever. So why do we differentiate between a patient expert and a doctor? Do we need to introduce a CME system for patients to give them a professional status that you can accept what kind of professionalism they have? But also fragmentation in terms of ethics, because we have different values in different countries, but quite often we're hiding behind ethical issues, even though most of the ethical issues are not so different across Europe or between US and Europe. So there are barriers, and that's exactly what we need to solve, instead of just what I often see as an advocate, finger pointing from left to right, regulators saying industry doesn't do that, industry saying, but regulators, you need to demand patient input, otherwise we're not doing it. Then we see patient advocates being excluded because they've previously worked with a company, even though the regulation is clear on this. So a lot of barriers which we need to overcome. And I think that's also one of the rationales where we want to get on with a kind of meta framework. So that's sometimes how advocacy feels when you look at it from a patient advocacy perspective. You want to be engaged, but you need to know, you need to understand, and sometimes you're not being taken serious. And some also try to get around and say, let's involve patients. We want the genuine patient, but of course we don't want these advocates, which are really sometimes difficult to manage because they know what they're talking about. So that's a challenge, and basically what we wanted to illustrate is sometimes looks like a big wave, but what we need to do is empower patients to actually be able to steer troubled waters or cross the Atlantic or whatever kind of symbol you want to use. And that's exactly what a number of initiatives like PFMD and EOPARDI are really working on. And this conference is also about. We understand how to manage these kind of difficult waters and troubled waters that we have in patient engagement and medicine's development. So I'd actually like to hand over to Nicolas, because what we really wanted to have, and that was the main rationale, and I think we've come very far in the past 24 months actually with PFMD. And that's why the session is called Progress Reports. And Nicolas is going to speak about the systematic approach that we've taken with all the different partners in the system and in this project, to really think about the meta framework, to really map out what the different initiatives are out there, to what level they engage patients. And we can see, I mean, Tony was presenting that a bit from an Amgen perspective, where I can see change. I can see the change of thinking. I see that gut feeling of patient involvement is moving towards a systematic approach of assessing where do patients need to provide input, where are we strong, where are we weak, and so on. So I think that makes a lot of sense. So Nicolas, can I just hand over to you to present all the progress we've had at PFMD?
So the call for action is pretty clear. There is a lot of fragmentation. We need a systematic approach to patient engagement. And actually, it comes to me, and my role in this case is I'm a caregiver, so I'm very sensitive to the issue, but my role is about the incubator of the partnership. So I'm not representing patient. I'm not representing any stakeholders around the table. I'm neutral. And so the mission is very clear, and we start to engage with the different stakeholders. And actually, the discussion we had just before highlighted that very quickly. When we start to engage, actually, we could see within one organization how patient engagement looks like, whether it's industry or not. It's valid for all type of organizations. You have some people really committed that are the one bathing the water within the organization. And so these people work very well, they are doing good initiatives, but you don't see any systematic approach. It's not coordinated, there is no interaction, and you have other people in the same organization that look at it with a kind of smiling on their face. So that's what I see when I look at one organization. Then I looked at, when we looked at the industry as a whole, that starts to be, it's not only no coordination, it's also disruptive things. One company does something, another does something else, and so you have a lack of coherence created there. And then when you look at the whole healthcare system, that's how it looks like. It's total panic on board, and here it's a small boat, but when we have to bring a systematic approach to that, it feels like the Titanic. And so we have the mission to bring a systematic approach to that, so it was a quite impressive feeling at the time. And so we had to think about how we'll make that happen. And actually a lot of PFMD is how the approach you have taken, and that's why we're successful today. So what we do, we are not reinventing the wheel, we are identifying good practices, whatever they are, whoever is doing them. We connect them and then we try to harmonize them into what will become a methodology to define who, when, and how to engage with patients in the whole life cycle of medicine development. And so we started with our members. So we started 18 months ago with 12 members. We have 21 members now. A majority of patient organizations are representative, industry, and also HTA International to represent HTAs. And this is something we want to grow. I will come back to it. The first thing we did is to create, you will see a lot of boats today. The first thing we did is to create a safe harbor. And the safe harbor means that we created a governance, very clear, making sure it's made with patients and not only for patients, but with representation for everybody and total transparency. It has been mentioned several times. We are about to issue our first report very soon. And so total transparency and strong governance. A quick word on the governance. You have the blue side, which is the decision body. Our members are represented by an advisory committee with 12 seats and where we make sure that there is a minimum of 30% of patients' seats at the advisory committee and a maximum of 50% for industry. Today, we have, I think it's 57 for patients, and the rest is shared by industry. The orange one is the agile body. So we have taken, there are massive partnership orders. We are taking the startup approach to partnerships. So we are trying to build a very agile operational team with experts from membership, but also not from other organizations. After the governance, we've created a sequence of four steps to get to our meta framework. So the very first step is to create the knowledge. We are not taking any stand on it, we are not assessing it, we are just listing and comparing the existing knowledge, whether it's literature, whether it's initiatives, good practices. I'll come back to that. The second step, and that's where co-creation starts, is when we bring all the stakeholders around the table. We feed them with all this information that I will substantiate in a minute, and then with them, we define what we should do next. What are the criterions? What is success? What is not success? How we measure it? What are the pilots we can do? And that's leading us to the third step, which is actually testing it, bring it to life. We have identified good practice somewhere. How can we test it somewhere else in a different environment to validate it? That's where we start to get to the systematic approach. And finally, when we will have enough understanding and material, we will put together a toolkit. And by toolkit, it's not just a paper with a methodology on paper, because we have a lot of that today already, but it's how we can implement it. What are the tools, the templates, the documents, but also maybe the advice and the coaching you need to implement patient engagement. And we have created what we call the mapping and networking tool to just make sure that these four sequences are connected. And this mapping tool, the goal is actually to give a map. So I continue with the energy of the boat. We will navigate as PFMD the ecosystem of patient engagement and the healthcare ecosystem, but the idea is to identify what are the lighthouses, what are the leaders, who we should take into account, so what do we have to be careful of. So that's exactly the role of the mapping here. And so we have a tool that has been self-fed by the leaders of patient engagement. So we didn't do a desk research to actually put them on the map. They came to us via phone interview, or they came to our online platform, and they told us what they are doing. And we categorize, so we have today about 155 initiatives on the system, and we categorize them, and we allowed also reports, global reports, to have an understanding of the global patient engagement landscape, but also for the members, organization reports, so they can analyze what they do in terms of patient engagement. I'll come back to it with a little bit more information. This is for the building information phase. Another thing we are doing now, we have started the interview, and we are looking for more representative for all different stakeholders, is the patient engagement stakeholder expectation matrix. Because everybody, we've heard some expectation just raised now, but everybody have different expectation, a different perspective on it. And so very often we just focus on what we can do, but we have a lot of expectation on the others. And so the goal is now to understand who is expecting what from who. So what industry is expecting from patient? What patient is expecting from industry? What both of them expect from the regulators and the other way around? And so we have an interview process where we'll have more than 60 interviews from all various stakeholders to actually feed that. And we will use that to actually define the criterions moving forward, but then also as a grid to assess our progress. Are we matching all expectations, yes or not? And if not, is there a rationale for that? We also, to digest all of this information, I'm on the step, on the sequence two now, the co-creation process, we have developed three focus groups, one on research, one on clinical development, and one on post-marketing. And so we have, through our network, we have invited much more than our members around the table, and actually you can see them, that's group one on research, with all level of patient expertise around the table, industry, regulators, and HTAs on board as well. The same for group two and the same for group three. These people are not necessarily members, so just I want to show how open is PFMD. We are not there to do a PFMD mark on everything. We are just there to capture the knowledge that's out there about patient engagement. Coming back to the mapping now. We did that initially to understand what's out there and to categorize it. So we have today 155 initiatives. We have different type of organization. We have initiatives that are doing patient engagement. We have initiatives about patient engagement. And we have initiatives that invest in patients because they give an extra capacity to patients, like extra training and things like that. So we just had the star on these initiatives. And you have a public view. What I'm showing you now is available on the website. It's available for anybody. So we categorize this and we create some lens on this from the different perspectives. So here is a patient expertise one. You have vertically four type of engagement with patient, and horizontally you have the different level the different levels of expertise. So newly diagnosed non-experts to expert patient affiliated or not affiliated to a patient organization or caregiver. And actually, you have the distribution of all the initiatives that we have in our system so far. We have a geographic view. Is it a national, regional, or global initiatives? Is it active on one of the seven categories? So access, advocacy, innovation, research, and so on. So we really try to, what's the focus of your initiative? Because patient engagement can be a lot. We here have the medicine life cycle, so the same four categories of type of engagement, but then in the life cycle of drug development, where are you in the process? The same initiative distributed there. The medical scope, is it for disease specific? Is it for a therapeutic area, or is it across all conditions? And actually, when you click on one of these blue bubbles, you can see what are the initiatives behind. And that's where we start to share the knowledge. You can see what are the initiatives, and you can click on the initiative and have the full profile of the initiatives. So this is a description entered by the owner of the initiatives. Since last week, you can also link several organizations to the same initiative and several users, because what it will become, it's also a network. So people will have the capacity to the possibility to add the expertise, and so you can use the system, actually, to filter down the initiatives, but soon the people as well, according to the criterions that I've just explained. So I'm looking for someone with experience in Germany, oncology, and clinical trials, then the people that are in the system will just, or the initiatives that are in the system will just appear, and you will be able to contact them if you are a member. Now, when you search, you have this kind of list with the short description of the initiative that correspond to your filters, and you can go to the profile of the initiatives. Now, this is building information, sharing information, but what we do now for organization is to offer them that as a patient engagement portfolio management tool. So you can also go deeper in terms of information, so you can add information for your organization only. And then we are building reports that tells you how active you are in terms of patient engagement. Are you more active in the early phase, later phase, which type of activity you focus on? If you are developing capacity of your organization, is it focusing on the community, on you, or it's really to try to understand the development of patient engagement? So now I wanted to keep enough time for the discussion. So if we think about how you can engage and help the systematic approach, we need to share all the information that most of you have some in silos. And so there are three ways you can do that. The first one is simply, very easy, you get on the map. 10 minutes to create the profile of your organization and then 20 minutes per initiative if you know it. It's very easy. The second one is to actually come into the focus group that we are doing. So there you're actually starting to shape the future of patient engagement with us because we look at all the information and we define what are the criteria and what are the next steps. Currently, we are actually reviewing, we have shortlisted 30 of the 150 initiatives. We investigate them further with these focus groups, and actually we try to define, okay, why it's a good initiative. If it's a criterion, then how we can measure it. And we start to bring the different pillars so we can get to the actual value of patient engagement. And the third call to action is simply to become a member, because you can benefit. We are open, we are transparent, you can benefit from all what we do, but you can also sit at the table and then define our strategy moving forward. Bring your issue to the table so we can address it. So it's actually, instead of being into the watch seat, you can also be in the driving seat and help us shape the future of patient engagement. There's a three call to action we have for you today. But you also have a question not to kick off the discussion. I come back to the impact map that Jan explained. And our question is that, where are you today in terms of the impact on patient? Are you more on the left side or on the right side? And PFMD and UPT are clearly on the left side. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jan. Same as before, any comments, challenges, questions? Now is a good time to fire away.
Yeah, hi, Mike Dawson from Abby. So the results of your surveys, are those posted on the website? Like, how do sponsor companies get access to the results of your feasibility surveys? And what, what's most interested the patient for industry and vice versa?
So just maybe to clarify, so you want to know how we publish the result of our...
Yeah, you said you're in the dialogue to try to understand, what is... how do all these interdependencies factor in? So how do we get access to the information that you're learning?
So the information we captured is all available online. So that's for the information we capture in terms of what are the good practices out there. And we bring more quality to it because we will start to add other metrics to it as we move on. And in terms of the co-creation process, so that's being discussed now, and actually we will publish the result of activities as we move on. And that's the main difference between being active in PFMD or waiting the result, is like you can be at the table and shape it, so you really you are into it as we do it, and then to wait the publication in peer-reviewed journals after.
So in many ways there are two aspects, right? One is... everything that comes in is publicly available. And then you can also look at your own organization in a customized private way if you want to map it according to certain criteria. Where is our patient engagement? Like Nicolas said, is it early stage, late stage? Do we work with individual patients? Sometimes companies have no idea what individual buckets or pockets in the companies do. That would be, of course, not shared if it's part of one organization, which does not necessarily need to be a company, but there's a private part as well. But everything that goes in goes out again. From the public perspective, this is not a closed circle.
I understand you will have a database with patients in order to match people with the industry. What kind of data protection do you have in place, and which legislation do you apply on that?
So my organization, the Synergies, the incubator of the partnership, is based in Brussels, so it will be EU-based legislation. And so in terms of privacy, because I think your question is about privacy, so the idea is that people will stay their expertise on the profile. It's a little bit like LinkedIn, if you want, but European-based. And linked to patient expertise only. We don't cover the other aspect in the platform. And so first of all, the people will have full control on the data, including deleting, completing the profile, which is not the case with the US-based organization generally. And also the fact that We are not having any medical information in there. It's just a statement about expertise. So it's really a high level there. We have a plan which is in process to actually add accreditations that patient organization could actually define who, from their point of view, within our database, could receive some accreditation to be very granular on which expertise they have or not. And so, but that's for phase three.
And probably just to explain a bit more about this, you know that we had about 100 graduates from the EU Party course, and especially also we have other experts which have been around for very long. So I have been the dumbest person on the EU Party program because I never made my own course in the end. But what we are lacking is this, what Nicolas was describing, something like a LinkedIn to match, because quite often, I mean, you have the same issue in EMA. Sometimes you just don't find a patient with the right expertise when you get to an assessment of a specific product or protocol or whatever. And the experience that we had with EU Party over the past 2 years since we have graduates is that these graduates are quite often the gateway to a larger community. So they involve people. But in the end, what we are lacking is that kind of matchmaking between the companies. It's not only the companies, it's academic groups as well. It is all kinds of stakeholders in there which say, we need a patient, or we need a patient expert, or we need a patient advocate, or we need a patient organization representative to provide us advice on a specific topic. And just supply doesn't meet demand, even though there are patients that know and there's organizations that demand, they don't meet. And that's one of the things where Nicolas and I discussed recently, that this is something that is really strongly needed. And it needs to be, again, not in silos. It shouldn't be only regulators or only industry or only whatever. We need to have this kind of service, and probably PFMD would be a very good platform for this. But probably, I mean, patient advocates are quite often public. We need to talk about the data protection. But in the end, at the moment, it's more a problem that those that want don't find their way to those that need it, rather than protecting those from giving advice. That's less of a problem at the moment, I would say, except for patients in their own subjective experience.
And just maybe to clarify, we are about to be joined by a non-industry-led research organization. And so it's not about matching patients with industry, it's matching patient expertise with any stakeholders out there, so not just the industry. And so we will be able to probably bring some visibility in terms of conflict of interest as well, because the goal is really to offer the best way to find patient expertise out there for anybody.
Because we have also this issue at the agency. The patient who will be in the database may belong to an organization. So do you plan to go through the organization to reach the patient when you do this matchmaking, or do you go directly to the patient? The organization will, in that case, may ignore the fact that a patient from this organization is dealing with whatever stakeholder you're talking about.
So for the accreditation, will come from patient organizations. So we have not defined the exact process. The idea was to be open for anybody because we don't want to be exclusive, but accreditation should come only from patient organizations that have the authority, if I can say, to actually label and give an accreditation to patients.
Yeah, because so we have the same kind of issue with, we are working through the network of organization, but at the same time we have a pool of experts, so we need to understand how do we work with these individual patients when they belong to an organization. So that's interesting to
And just to complement that, I mean, the EMA is quite sophisticated in that sense, because you had this track record of having first this Excel sheet with all the experts and patient representatives and people from the PCWP and so on. Mm. And so what you've presented earlier on pretty much shows your experience, that you know which kind of experience you need at what stage. And I would say you're quite advanced, but many organizations in healthcare at the moment saying we want patient input. Mm. But what does that mean? Is it patient with subjective experience? Mm-hmm. Is it an opinion of an organization, like a patient organization? Is it a patient advocate who oversees a whole population of patients with the same medical issues? Mm-hmm. And quite often, you know what you want, but quite often the organizations that are thinking about patient input haven't even defined what kind of input do we want, what kind of perspective. And that's why we published the EU Party guidelines on a patient interaction with regulatory authorities, with industry, with ethics committees, and with HTA bodies. And the first chapters actually, first of all, define what the patient is in these five different roles. And PFMD, you've seen that in Nicolas' tools on the horizontal, has exactly that stratification as well. So what kind of expertise are you asking? And I think sometimes it will be the patient in their subjective experience saying, when you have taken that drug for 3 years, what was your experience, or what does it mean living with bone marrow transplant? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's what is the issue for the general population of CML patients? And then you need to have the overview of all the, let's say, different strata of that.
Okay.
Good. So thank you very much to both speakers. Appreciate it.
The Patients as Partners Europe Conference seeks to understand and incorporate the patient's voice in designing clinical trials and developing a clinical endpoint, as well as vastly improving the patient's entire experience in a clinical trial. For more information, visit theconferenceforum.org. Thanks for listening.